Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose, Rose Colombo, right here for you every Wednesday from 12 to 1 p.m. live. And boy, are we live today.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion? Not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Colombo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Colombo's home on the Colombo Chronicles Live to your home, Colombo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Hi, everyone. Wake up. Wake up, America. Wake up around the world. Is the American dream on the verge of the American nightmare? Well, those were words that I coined back in nearly 30 years ago, actually, on AMFM radio, when I was discussing the issues that are still timely today, when America wasn't really paying attention because the money was flowing and jobs were going on and expanding, and they didn't even notice that they were expanding overseas and over to communist China, to a foreign enemy nation, to make them the superpower of the world. We were losing our jobs thanks to Bill Clinton and the Democrats. And here we are with facing the Clintons and the Democrats and Pelosi and Schiff and all these representatives who are obsessed and focused only on President Donald J. Trump, who, I don't know, is it a coup? Is it a conspiracy? It began long ago, probably the night he was elected. Who knows? I mean, this has been going on for nearly 3 years, to remove the President of the United States from the Oval Office. So who would want to be the President of the United States? Well, if they removed President Trump and Vice President Pence, I guess then it would be Speaker Nancy Pelosi. And if that were to happen, would she run as the incumbent in 2020, or would she decide to allow Hillary Clinton to slip into the office, or Michelle Obama, and replace the vice president maybe with Barack Obama, Bill Clinton? I mean, or would they become U.S. justices, tie up the liberal activist Supreme Court that way? It really is a circus, and absolutely stunning what is happening in the good old USA. But we have hope, you know, there's always hope because we are a nation built on a Christian foundation. And we are not only built on a Christian foundation, the reason we're built on a Christian foundation is because the framers rooted our laws into the Bible and the Ten Commandments. So if you violate any of those commandments, you are in trouble with the law. That's the way it is in the USA. But we have migrated people from foreign nations who don't believe in Christianity, who hate Christians, in fact, who persecute Christians, slaughter Christians around the world. But they're everywhere now because ever since Barack Hussein Obama became the non-vetted president of the United States, and then we learned his name was Barry Sotoro, we have been infiltrated with unidentified illegals and foreigners from foreign enemy nations or gang-infested, cartel-infested nations who are residing in our country, and we're supporting them because 63% of illegals are on welfare and 90% of real or fake refugees, whichever they happen to be, are on welfare. Think about that one for a minute through their open borders. Today we're going to have a special guest. His name is Bill Byes, and he is a researcher, and he is right on top of what's happening with our government and what is going on with our country. And so let's just take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll get started and introduce you to our very special guest, Bill Byes. So don't touch that dial.
Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to columbochronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, columbochronicles.com.
That's right, everyone. It's columbochronicles.com live. And you can call in and speak with our guest and ask questions at 646-564-9742.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up. And now is the time to listen up because we have to ask ourselves, is America on the verge of the American dream or the American nightmare? So let's just say hello to our very special guest, Bill Byes. Hi, Bill. How are you today? Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me, Rose?
I can hear you now. We were having a little bit of a technical
problem. I'm going to get up again as far as the connection.
Oh, yeah, the connection, yeah. Well, we'll do the best we can.
Exactly.
So, Bill, I know you love to research and you've followed everything that's happening in our government and politically. And here we are in this three-ring circus, as you called it, of impeachment against the President of the United States. So I was wondering, because you've been on our show before when you were running for public office, and why don't you tell our audience a little bit about which office you were running for, because it's been quite a while that I've spoken to you, and will you be running for public office again in the future?
Well, I'll never necessarily say no that I won't, but currently I'm not running for public office. I was running on a third-party ticket for vice president in the 2016 campaign.
Okay.
And at this point, I'm not running for public office. So, if it happens again, you hate to say no. I'll never do it because you never know what may transpire. But as of now, not really seeking public office, and just kind of, you know, staying aware of what's going on, and half of the time trying to ignore what's going on because it's so bad.
It's so bad. So, Bill, what do you think about Schiff's fabricating a story of lies to the world and to the American people to make the President of the United States to appear as if he committed a crime, and which he did not, because there is a treaty, Bill, that Bill Clinton actually signed, believe it or not, that allows the President of the United States and the Ukraine President to speak on the phone and inquire about any American, whether it's a crime or not a crime, but to inquire about any American, or they can inquire about any Ukrainian in the USA. Bill Clinton made that legal. So that is amazing to me that they are making a big deal out of a phone call where there was no exchange for any dirt on the Bidens in that conversation. But here's Adam Schiff, the chair of the investigation, lying to the American people because he made up a story of what he said the president stated, but it was all lies. What do you think about that?
Well, I'll quote Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Nothing in politics happens by mistake. It's all planned. So I feel that it's planned. It's perpetrated. He is a Democrat. He is from California. Not trying to put California down, but
oh, you
but
can because they've already taken it down.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's all perpetrated to try to destroy. Do what they can to destroy the Trump administration. We are officially now, just about pretty well officially into an election year, because they used to start after, you know, 1 year before the election. Now it seems to be an unending, you know, election cycle. But we're definitely into the 2020 campaign, and so they're trying to do everything they can to discredit Donald Trump. His administration has been very transparent. Can't say that for the previous one. He does try to be upfront with the tweets that he puts out there. He tends from time to time to really put it out there, and it irritates them. But I just hope that certain evidence comes forward. I've been waiting, and I'm sure you have too, for several years, for things to come out. It's obvious that crimes have been committed, but yet they're not going to bring certain people apparently to justice. I guess they're just, you know, they just have a pass, a get out of jail free card or whatever it is, which you and I don't have, and the majority of Americans don't have, but people like Hillary are able to get away with things, and other people are able to get away with things, and of course, they don't want Trump to be able to, you know, they want to pin stuff on him that he didn't even do. So it kind of gets frustrating. It really does.
Well, I think millions of Americans are frustrated, but the good news that I read today was there was a new poll that says the majority of Americans do not want the President of the United States impeached. The economy is doing better. There's the lowest unemployment in 50 years. We haven't seen that in 50 years, 3.5% unemployment. When Obama said there was no way that Trump would be president of the United States, there was no way that Trump would be able to create jobs and increase the economy, which were all lies, because and proven wrong.
He's done it.
Because President of the United States has kept his promises.
Well,
under great pressure.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, there are no impeachable offenses. I mean, I'd like to know what they are. They want to throw that out and throw, we need to impeach him, we need to impeach him. For what? And as I've said on your program before, the previous administration, don't really want to bring up Barack on that, but Barack's a foreigner. He's not even an American citizen. And I've stated that several times on your program, and yet they didn't find that to be an impeachable offense. Congress, by allowing him, Congress, by allowing Barack to be in office for 8 years, even to allow him to be in office for a day, was actually treason, which that's kind of an impeachable offense, but yet they want to look the other way on that. But now we actually have an American in the White House, and they're trying to just bring up charges that are false.
Well, so do you possibly think, as just a thought, that we have card-carrying socialists and possibly secret communists, and of course we know we have the squad linked to the Muslim Brotherhood, KIR, Hamas, Hezbollah organizations, and are sympathetic to terrorists. How they got into office is beyond my imagination. And they have stirred up the pot since the first day they got into office, calling the president an MF, a non-human, a radical, a racist, a Nazi, white supremacist. I mean, you name it, they have called him, and even Nancy Pelosi went along with
it. You name it, they have said it. That's right.
Which is disgraceful
to
the American people. But that's disgraceful. I have never in the history of the USA or that I've read about or experienced in my lifetime seen such vile, foul language used against the President of the United States and threats against the President of the United States, as well as not only the threats, but against his minor child, his son, who they need to really protect, and against his family and even the supporters, elderly people, veterans. They go out and they beat people up because they're wearing a hat in America in a free nation. What do you think about that? I find it so frightening.
Right. It's definitely terrible. It should not be happening, but yet it does, and we have many people even from the Republican side that as that's why we have the phrase "Rhino Republican" in name only, that don't back the president either, and there have been many people that have asked me in the past several years, how do you think Trump is doing? And I said, well, I think he's actually doing a pretty good job. And I said, well, what makes you say that? I said, well, how many people are shooting at Trump? And they said, well, everybody's shooting at Trump. And I said, my point exactly. That tells me that he's probably doing a pretty good job. Because as you and I both know, it's been politics as usual for decades.
And not only that, that I'm for, I was always for someone who is a business owner, who understand business, because I believe that the corruption in the government has evolved with the no term limits. So all these people who are in key positions all know each other for 10, 20, 30, or maybe even 40 years, going way back, and they're all comfortable and they're all self-protecting each other, which created the corruption within the government. And I'm totally for term limits, but I wrote to Senator Feinstein, and she wrote back and said that there's no way that they will approve term limits, and period. And so what do you feel, and I believe that Trump, who's a businessman, was my point, could see these loopholes in our laws that need to be corrected in order to tighten up the screws so that, you know, there isn't as much corruption going on. And they don't like it. They don't like it at all. So what do you think about the term limits and about the way a businessman would operate a nation and have a balance sheet versus the way it's been operated in the past?
Well, I have a business background myself, and I've had a small manufacturing business for the past 21 years. And you have to work on that budget. You can't spend and spend and spend. You have to work within your means to make any business work. And America is a big business, and it has to be pro-business. That's what grew this country. But it's been so much party politics for the last 50 years that it's destroying this country. And I'm glad to see Trump moving it in the other direction, though they are fighting in tooth and nail. I feel that there should be term limits, but I really like the idea of term limits at the ballot box. You know, vote the ones out. Once they're there, I hesitate to even vote for an incumbent, because once they get established, two or three election cycles, you can never get them out, because it's their career. The founding fathers never wanted it to be a career. They really didn't even want to have, you know, different political parties. They just wanted people like you and I to serve. And then after we served for 2 years or 4 years, to go back to our job. And actually, to serve was only supposed to be a part-time position. Actually, historically, from 1789 till somewhere in the mid-1850s, members of the House and the Senate that only met in Washington, they didn't meet that often, but when they met, they received $8 per diem per day. There was no salary till the mid-1850s. So everything has changed from that point on, where now it's a big salary, it's a big retirement, and they get that retirement after serving a two-year term, which is ridiculous. No business would ever do anything like that.
No,
so,
and they wouldn't.
They become a big club. They're a big club up there, and they want to protect each other because they want to protect their livelihood, which is politics. And it shouldn't be that way. They're supposed to be employees of the people.
Right, and public servants and serve the people. And we know
serve
what
the people.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be working for the people, but instead we know what they're doing to the people and for themselves.
Exactly.
And
right.
So,
they are not supposed to have that power. Of course, they swear an oath to uphold the Constitution, to follow it, and to do what it says in the Constitution, and most of them do not do that.
Well, I think that the day that non-vetted president Barack Hussein Obama stood up and gave a speech I think it was in the House of Representatives, and every congressman and senator and justices were there, and he said that the Constitution and Congress were meaningless, and he didn't need them. He would rule by executive order, which is not the way our government operated prior to him. I expected the congressman to stand up and walk out the exit door, because in my opinion that was treason right there, and because that's their duty, and their only duty is to uphold, defend, and protect the Constitution of the United States and their sovereignty, along with the military and law enforcers. And so instead of standing up and walking out the exit door and filing for impeachment, they applauded. What do you think about that?
Exactly. Terrible. I remember that well. Terrible.
I remember it too.
And
embedded in my head.
Actually, they should have brought up articles of impeachment right then.
I agree, and I think the sergeant of arms should have walked up and walked him out.
But they never vetted him. They never vetted him. You're very correct when you said that. They never did.
No, because Holder helped him insert into a existing presidential order. I believe it was President Bush's presidential order, that nobody in the whole world could look at Obama's information, his credentials, his ID, nothing, without their permission. I read it.
I know.
How can a public servant not be vetted properly? And if you recall, it was Attorney Philip J. Berg who filed the first eligibility lawsuit requesting that Justice Roberts and the other justices opened a lawsuit and heard his lawsuit and his arguments of why Barack Hussein Obama should not be inaugurated. And because I wrote letters to each of the justices, including Justice Roberts, and I said I was in support of this eligibility lawsuit filed by Attorney Berg, and that if they didn't bail, if they didn't hear this lawsuit and his arguments, that in the future we could be facing a precedent of having jihadists, terrorists, cartel members, illegals running for public office and for the highest office in the United States of America, using that case as case precedent to run for president of the United States without being a natural-born citizen and meeting that requirement, which is a baby born to two legal parents on U.S. soil. And it could be a foreign spy, it could be anybody. If they do not properly vet a candidate for Congress, Senate, especially the United States president. So what did you think about that?
It clearly states in the Constitution that you have to be natural born, and the definition of natural born, and it's gone through the court system, is offspring of two U.S. citizens. I grew up in my dad was career military, so I grew up in quite a few different locations, and I was taught they would come and talk about that about once a year, I remember well, in elementary school, and say that it doesn't really matter where you're born. Your dad might be stationed in Japan, he might be stationed in Alaska, he might be stationed in, you know, several different countries in Europe where we have bases, several countries in Southeast Asia or the Middle East where we have military bases. But it doesn't matter where you're born. What it matters is who are your parents. And if your parents are American citizens, then therefore you are an American citizen and you are considered natural born. It's not so
but
much
you,
the location as it is.
Well, it is so much the location because you're in U.S. protected territories. So all
right.
Those are U.S. protected territories.
You're on a military
yes.
military
so
base.
So it's like being
or
in the USA.
Or you're in the canal zone. Right, exactly.
It equates to the USA. Yes, so I mean McCain,
exactly,
that happened to McCain, but
yeah.
He's still a natural-born American.
He was born in the canal zone, which actually should still be sovereign U.S. territory. Because when Teddy Roosevelt made the agreement with the Panamanians, when the French couldn't build the canal, Teddy Roosevelt said, we can build the canal, but we want some stipulations with that. And one was that the canal zone would become sovereign U.S. territory in perpetuity. And I remember years ago when I was a school teacher, my kid, and that subject would come up, my kids would say, well, what does in perpetuity mean? I said, well, it's kind of like forever plus one day. And they would kind of laugh. But we're still supposed to have the canal zone. That's what the original treaty was. And it really hacked me off when Jimmy Carter gave the canal zone back in 79, and we were supposed to have it for another 20 years and then release it to them in 99. That was treason right there, to give away sovereign U.S. territory.
Thank you for that information, because I felt the same way, and I was calling KABC Radio and all these stations, on talk shows because I was upset when President Clinton tried to give away the Long Beach Naval Base and port to the communist China, to communist China, which is a foreign enemy nation. And fortunately, yes. Anthony J. Hilder got a lot of Americans involved, and they protested, and finally they didn't give it away free to this tyrannical dictator who had committed genocide against his own citizens. And
what?
And so they ended up, I guess, leasing it somehow to the communist Chinese, which crosses over international waters and violates those laws as well. So I was just shocked at what was happening to our country, and the American people, you know, were not able to stop him by his calling all of this outsourcing.
Right. Well, there have been many things. Treasonous acts and un-American acts didn't begin with Barack Obama. It's been going on for a long time, and Congress just kind of thumbs their nose at the Constitution on a daily basis. They are supposed to follow the Constitution, and if they do not, they are violating their oath of office, and therefore they are committing treason.
Everybody in the DOJ is doing the same thing by not arresting them or at least removing them from office.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes, I agree totally.
They're not doing their job either. They
don't
have the guts to do it because there's so many whistleblowers that end up going to heaven too soon.
That's correct.
So people are living in fear of their own government rather than the government living in fear of the people.
That's it. Well, you're basically quoting Thomas Jefferson there. Thomas Jefferson said, "A government that fears the people. When the government fears the people, you have freedom. When the people fear the government, you have tyranny."
And we're on the verge, Bill, I believe, of either we get this right, and we defend the President of the United States for something. I don't care about his personal life, because if you were to look at all the Democrats, past and current, and the rhinos and so forth, their personal lives wouldn't be so so snow white either. So,
yes.
And none of us are. I mean, none of us are, you know. And I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying that they keep throwing this personal past life, and people do change. I mean, people do change. And they can change, and they can, you know, give their life to God, or, you know, as they get older or get wiser, whatever happens to all of us, you know, things happen and change us. And so why they keep bringing up 10, 20, 30 years, I mean, 30 years ago, 35 years ago, people's lives is absolutely insane, or we'd all be in jail for something.
Right.
And so, I mean, something we did, you know, and so what they've done, Bill, in my opinion, is they have reversed everything, and what is right is wrong, what's wrong is right, what is legal is illegal, and they're supporting these false, fabricated laws and holding themselves above the law and exempting themselves from the law and from punishment while mandating that we follow unconstitutional laws that they're forcing upon us, for example, by Obamacare, which they exempted themselves, Muslims, illegals, donors, from paying up and from signing up, but they get free health care, but it's not free to us because we not only have to pay for our own health care or be punished with fines and penalties, blah, blah, blah. But we have to support 30 million other people who we are not responsible to do. Now, Bill, since you were a school teacher, how can the Congress and the President, Obama, force Americans, which is outside their job duty, and I can't find it in the Constitution, to work hard, support ourselves, support the entire government, pay taxes to do that from our hard-earned money while we struggle to put food on our table for our families, and then force us to pay for people who are illegally in our country, millions, and violated our laws. How is that possible? I just want to know.
Well, it's not. It's definitely not constitutional. As you know, as a former school teacher, I mean, well, and we talked about. I think we talked about some of this before, Rose. So many things that the U.S. government does in Washington is unconstitutional. Most of the departments are unconstitutional because they violate the 10th Amendment. What exists at the state level is not supposed to exist at the federal level. We have state departments of education in all 50 states. The federal Department of Education is unconstitutional. We don't need it. It doesn't need to be there. And Washington does not need to be controlling the different state education systems. Every state is a sovereign state. Every state
what
is supposed
point.
To do their own thing. The federal government is not really supposed to have any jurisdiction in any of the sovereign nation states. I've talked about that for the last couple of years. I've really gotten into that more than when I was running back in 2016. But we have to realize the fact, and again, a lot of this has been usurped in the past 100 years or so, 150 years. Every state is a sovereign state. Why does each state have a flag? Why does each state have a governor? Why does each state have a legislature? And why does each state have a Supreme Court? It's because each state is a nation. Why does California have a flag? Why does Mississippi have a flag? Why does Michigan have a flag? Why does Nevada have a flag? Why does New York have a flag? Because they're nations. Only nations have flags. So many Americans don't even realize that. And if they even begin to realize that, they really don't have an understanding of it.
That's true. Every state
is its own separate nation. And the question I always got into. Did the states create Washington, D.C., or did Washington, D.C. create the states? Therefore, who's in charge? Who's the creator and who's the creature? Washington, D.C. is the creature. They're not in charge. They're not supposed to be in charge. And, of course, in addition to the federal Department of Education being unconstitutional, the federal income tax is unconstitutional because in the majority of the 50 states, there are state income tax. So if you have a federal income tax, that violates the 10th Amendment. So
if you want to take away the power
from Washington, you have to start with the purse. And if everyone begins to realize that the federal income tax, which was created on December 23rd of 1913, is unconstitutional, and therefore they should not be able, and they're not, the federal government is not supposed to be able to have the power to directly tax Americans. You and I should never really have any dealing with Washington, D.C. at all in our entire lives. That's how the founders set it up. The founders set it up for the states to be in charge, not for the federal government to be in charge.
Well, this
the
is
federal
all
government
interesting.
Was,
go ahead.
Right, we can talk about this on another program. Be glad to do that. But so many people don't realize it's so simple to get the power back and to take it from Washington is so simple that people have to become educated and realize and vote accordingly.
Well, they don't want people to be educated and understand because they want to keep them confused and brainwashed so that they can't vote
for
them.
But who's in charge of the public school system? The federal government. Should they be? No, not at all. As a former school teacher, I knew that. I knew that even when I taught. And I remember one time talking to a principal and a superintendent, and I said, exactly how much do we get in federal funds? And they said, well, we get 5%. I said, so you're getting 5% from the federal government, and you're giving them 100% control? And I had this conversation nearly 30 years ago, and I still remember it. It was so funny because I knew the principal and the superintendent pretty well. And they looked at each other, and they looked back at me, and they said, we've never thought about it that way before. I said, why would you give anyone 100% control when you only get 5% of the money? The majority of the money comes from the state.
And
it doesn't come from the federal.
Yeah, well, I find this all interesting because it goes back to the trampling of the federal government, Congress, trampling on the laws of the federal government, the Constitution and the states, when it comes to overturning the 2016 election and using a so-called whistleblower under the protective whistleblower law that, in my opinion, this is not a true whistleblower. They won't name him. They won't have open hearings on testimony. And the whistleblower is reported in the news to be a registered Democrat and to be anti-Trump and to be quite well linked to one of the major candidates running for president, which would be his or her competition in 2020. So knocking out your competition by impeachment appears to me, as a layperson who's a longtime advocate for justice, to be a coup or a conspiracy or pre-plan agenda for this time to replace the GOP president with either Pelosi or Hillary or Michelle Obama, and then appoint Barack Obama as a justice or vice president, or Schiff as vice president, or Bill Clinton. I mean, it just,
well, sure,
in my conspiracy head, that's how it appears to me.
Sure. Well, it appears that not only are they trying to impeach Trump, they're also trying to impeach Pence. And if they are able to impeach both of them, who would then, by following the Constitution, who would then become president? It would be Nancy Pelosi.
Well,
she's the next one in line.
Look what
and
they're doing. They're trying to...
And then who would she then pick as her vice president?
Exactly. And so look at what they're trying to do, though. They're trying to impeach the president of the United States, either impeach or indict all of these people. The president of the United States, the vice president, William Barr, and Justice Kavanaugh. Four major people in their path.
Yes.
Major people in their path to the White House, and that's what their, in my opinion, their goal is, to remove all staunch conservatives who stand up for the Constitution, our loyal patriots, who believe in the republic operated by the rule of law, leave the borders open, allow all the illegals and cartels, gangs, traffickers, all these healthy males leaving their wives and children and families behind to come for the freebies in our country and enslave the American people to them. And that's how I see it. I mean, I could be totally wrong. I'm not saying this is opinion, you know.
Right.
And that's how it appears.
I know none of this is being innocently done. It is all. They want to take control in 2020. They want to win, and not just have the White House, but they want to have the Senate and the House. They want to have all three branches, and that's what this is about. They know that Trump will win the 2020 election. With the way the economy is going, with the way the country is going, the way the people feel about Trump, he's going to win in 2020. They have
Absolutely.
To do something. They have to do something to get rid of him, because they know that he will win. They can't allow that.
And they could care less about the country. They could care less about the Constitution. They could care less about the American people. The only people they're protecting are the Muslims, and the and many of them are fake refugees who have come to this country non-vetted, because Obama and Hillary pre-planned the migration into the USA, diverting stimulus funds to fund it through the U.S. refugee agencies, who the whistleblower said they didn't bother to vet these people because they were working on financial incentives to push through as many as possible into the USA, and then it spread over to Europe and into Canada and through Mexico. So this was all pre-planned. But the question I have for you as a former school teacher, why would they do that? We're talking about people from foreign enemy nations.
Sure. And that is totally, I mean, every bit of it, like I said, on a daily basis, they violate the Constitution. You just shake your head at what goes on. And there's nothing
that they're doing that is constitutional. That's terrible.
No, it's not constitutional for them. No, they don't care. That's the problem. The people have to care. And so it's like a big kangaroo court up there. And because GOP Representative Matt Gaetz says Adam Schiff is a malicious Captain Kangaroo running a kangaroo court. And I've been in kangaroo courts more than once. And I can tell you it is all based on accusation and false accusations. And it's not fun to gain something for themselves. And so this is a shameful, shameful thing that's happening in our country. And, you know, I think that Senator Gaetz is absolutely correct. It's like this giant kangaroo court that's expanding and needs to be brought to an end, a malicious Captain Kangaroo running a kangaroo court. And that's what he has to say about the chair of the impeachment inquiry, Adam Schiff, who made up that fabricated story that attempted, in my opinion, to make President Trump appear as a criminal who committed a crime, which he did not. I think that's so shameful, I can't even get over it. So
It's terrible.
It is horrid. I mean, I've never seen anything like this in our country. And then going back to the impeachment bill, it says former prosecutor Robert Ray on impeachment push, Pelosi now pursuing what she said she wouldn't do. And the former prosecutor said if the House approves articles of impeachment, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, a Republican, should make a motion to dismiss the charges, because this motion is likely to be granted because it would be ruled upon by a majority of senators in the Senate. He said that he would have no choice but to take it up at that point if she forces this impeachment. If the House approves articles of impeachment. So in a campaign ad last week, McConnell signaled to the voters that he intends to protect President Trump from the Democrats' efforts to remove him, and that the White House outlined in a defiant 8-page letter to the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and top Democrats on Tuesday why it will not participate in their illegitimate and unconstitutional impeachment inquiry charging that the proceedings have run roughshod over congressional norms and the president's due process rights. So this is what you were also stating. You were saying that they are running roughshod over the congressional norms, holding themselves above the law while trampling on state laws. Isn't that what you were stating?
Yes. Yeah. They pretty much do as they please. They do not follow the Constitution. The Constitution was written by the states to control the federal government. But as it states in the Declaration of Independence, once a government gets to the point that they have become tyrannical, it is the right of the people to alter and abolish it and to institute new government.
And they should have got the hint. Shouldn't they have gotten the hint in 2016 that the people were waking up to their corruption?
And that's what is scaring them to death, and that is why they're doing exactly what they're doing right now. And it is up to we, the people, to call every one of them on it. The phone should be ringing off the hook in Washington, but many times, and I'm sure many times when you've called in and many times when I have called in, we've just been ignored. We talk to somebody in the office, that's as far as we get, and we get ignored. Why? They're above us. And
or
no,
they won't answer
us.
Our questions.
Oh,
because one time,
they sidestepped them.
When Obama was in office, I called and I asked my congressman's staff, because you can't get a hold of the congressman, right? But
right.
I did get a live
person.
It's
always the staff. It's always
the staff. Some kid who doesn't even know the laws. And so, anyway, I asked him, I said, politely, I said, I understand that Obama's administration is purchasing tons of FEMA trains. And I said, I see them going for miles and miles, and I've seen them in three different states. And I said, and I did. And one of my relatives lives near railroad tracks, and I mean, they were the most frightening concentration camp type of trains I've ever seen in my lifetime, the first time I've ever seen such scary-looking trains in my life. There were miles and miles of them. And so I said, I want to know why he's using our taxpayer money, why they're using our taxpayer money to buy these FEMA trains. And I said, I want to know where they're going, what is their purpose, and what do they intend to put inside of those FEMA trains? Because
right.
we are the public paying for them, and we have a right to know. At first, they wouldn't answer any question at all. And then they finally admitted, yes, they are using tax dollars to purchase them, but we don't know what their purpose is or why they're purchasing them. That was the answer.
Yeah, sure. Well, the answer goes back to, you got to take the power to tax away from them. The founders wanted a limited government. The only way to get that limited government is to go back to the way it was during the founding days. You've got to control the politicians. They are supposed to be public servants. They are not supposed to get a salary. So many people today would laugh at that statement, but it's true. They're not supposed to have a salary. It's supposed to be a part-time position. It's supposed to be, you're supposed to serve the people for 2 years or 4 years, and it's only supposed to be a part-time job. The mayor of a town, it's supposed to be a part-time job where the mayor might be involved with something 2 hours a week. It's not supposed to be a full-time position, but it has become a profession, the profession of politics. And that's where the country has gone down the wrong road. But you start by stating that the federal income tax is unconstitutional, which it is. Abolish it. And if we were to require the federal government to pay it back since 1913, they couldn't handle that. And we could get into other things that I don't want to get into right now on that. But
I know.
You've got to take, we've talked about other things, but there it is so, it is to have that power, to to have that power of controlling all that money. And they talk about it being federal dollars. It's not federal dollars. Where'd the money come from? The American taxpayers. That's where
right.
It came
the
from.
Government has no money. The government has no money.
No,
it's
have,
the American
they,
people
they only
that
have they,
take gifts to the government.
Taxation is theft. Thomas Jefferson said so. It's theft.
Yeah,
all
and they don't even
money,
ask
government,
us.
Government creates nothing. They can only steal. They create nothing.
No, they don't.
The workers
it's the American
in America
people.
Are the ones that produce. The American people produce, and the government
right.
taxes at all levels, whether it be city government, county government, state government, or federal government. Taxation is theft. Property tax is theft. You don't own your property.
Mm-mm.
We don't own our property. Because as
we
long
don't
as
own
you
anything.
Have to pay taxes, no, as long as you have to pay taxes, you don't own your property. And I have especially young people look at me so strange when I say that because they can't wrap their mind around that concept.
Because they don't teach them anything anymore.
Well, who controls the school system? The government.
Right.
It's the government school system.
And, of course, we're infiltrated
with...
the public
school system, but it's not. It's the government
no.
school system.
But we're also infiltrated with liberal, commie, socialist, Muslim Brotherhood types now in our country who are infiltrated into the churches, into the schools, into the government. It's no secret anymore. So Americans have
right.
to take back their constitution, and they have to take back their sovereignty, and they have to take back their country before we end up like Europe. And we have to maintain our American way of life, or we're going to leave. What are we going to leave our children?
Yeah. Well, what did our parents leave us? This has been going on longer than you and I have been alive.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's been going on for 150 years or more.
Yeah, and if you look at the when we, you know, talked about you don't own anything because you, in a split second they could take your freedom away from you by an accusation.
Right.
And, I mean, that's the way they've turned our laws upside down so that they can target anybody. They spy on you. They
yes.
listen to your conversations. They silence your freedom
of
speech,
press. And it's none of their business. Just like
no.
they have no right to come on your property without a specific warrant with your name on it and the reason why they're coming on your property. If they don't do that, they're violating your constitutional rights. And local government does not see it that way at all. It's terrible.
No, but if you look at the German Nazis who used the search and seizure laws where they knocked down the doors like they're trying to do here in America with search and seizure
yes.
and
yes.
take your assets. And they raped the women. They took their assets. They tore their homes apart. They took their jewelry, gold teeth, whatever they could get, threw them on trains if they survived, or executed them right there on
right.
their front lawns or in their homes, and put them on those, what I call FEMA trains. And what happened is, like we said, that, you know, you don't own anything when you have a tyrannical government because they strip you of your clothing. They strip you of everything. They take your property, your
yes,
vehicle. And we have to be very
yes,
careful in this country because they have laws where they can impound your vehicle for a traffic violation. And people don't even know
right.
that.
And that's wrong. That is totally a violation of your constitutional rights. What most people don't realize is that we have these rights, and the rights, the Constitution was not written for the American people. It was written for the people that hold office. It was written for the police, and it was written for the military. They all, when they're sworn into office, when a police officer is sworn into office, when a person in the military is sworn in, when a politician is sworn in, they all swear to uphold the Constitution. they're under the Constitution. If we don't hold political office, if we're not a police officer or in the sheriff's department, or if we're not in the military, we are not under the Constitution. They are. And the Constitution was written to control them. And most people do not have a concept of that.
Oh, my God, we have to have you.
And the reason they don't, yeah, we can do this again. The reason they don't is the government is the one that controls the schools. And they don't want anybody to know. They want you to be dumbed down. I have talked to many politicians face-to-face, especially here at the state level, because I've been a delegate to the state constitution, to the state, twice. Been a delegate to the, I've talked to the state legislatures, and I said, you don't realize, you're my employee. They don't want to talk to me when I say that. When I'm face-to-face with them and I'm not on the phone and they can't run away, they go nuts. I smile at them, and I say, you don't realize you're my employee. You're a public servant.
Oh, they
hate
that.
You are supposed to follow the Constitution. You are supposed to follow the Constitution, both the state and federal Constitution, and represent me. They don't like that.
They don't like
that. Because they want to be the big cheese. They want to be the boss.
Exactly.
And to quote my father-in-law who passed away several years ago, most of them can't find their rear end with both hands.
And the amazing thing that you said, the boss, is because that the socialist Democrat AOC, that's one of the things the youngest 27-year-old, without any experience, went from bartender to running our country here. And lost thousands of jobs over in New York City. She said, "I'm the boss." So there you go.
Right.
You've got inexperienced people, and even refugees who are radicals who have never worked in this country, never paid taxes, or illegals, and haven't sworn allegiance or refuse to assimilate as Americans in running our country.
Right.
27-year-olds who with no experience, foreigners with no experience, many we don't even know if they, like us or don't like us because people can say whatever they want.
They are not representing us. They are representing
themselves. No, they aren't. They are not representing us, and it's really, they're not upholding the Constitution of the United States, our sovereignty, legal immigration. They're not protecting ICE, Border Patrol, sheriffs, and they are anti-military, many of them. I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime, and I hope that President Trump and the true loyal Americans, especially those that were born on this soil to two legal Americans, will wake up and save our nation from what appears to be an American nightmare for Americans. And we're very concerned about our country that we love. And I believe the military should come back to our country and should protect our sovereignty because there's too much division and too much unrest in our country right now because of the Democrats pulling that race card and opening the borders. So on that note, unfortunately, we've run out of time. It went so fast. I'll have to have you back because I love talking about the Constitution. Yes, and God bless you, Bill.
Yes.
It was great talking to you.
Great talking to you again, Rose. We'll have to do it again
soon.
All right.
All righty.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You take care. All right.
You
too. Bye-bye.
Bye. And on that note, God bless you. God bless America. God bless the president and his family and keep them safe and keep America safe and keep all the people who are under some kind of threat around the world, whether it be Christians, Jews, Kurds, whoever. May God keep his hand on everyone who is fighting the good fight and against evil. So God bless you. God bless America.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.